At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, welcome to the show, everybody. Please give a big hello to Illuminati. I'm just gonna move this around. Oops, I'm already messing it up. Should I go by Illuminati? Is that the best way to address you?
My first name is Blair. Blair's on. I'm Blair. It's cool. Yeah.
Hi, Blair. It's very nice to meet you.
It's great to meet you too. Thank you.
I've got you maxed out. Is there any way you can turn up your volume more? And if the answer is no, no worries. I can.
Is this better? This is the loudest I can go. I have a really quiet mic and I don't know why.
No, this is perfect. That's awesome.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, do you want to give everyone just a quick introduction to who you are and where they can find you on the interwebs?
Oh, yeah, sure. Hi, everybody in the chat. I'm Blair or the Illuminati. You can find me on YouTube as Illuminati or on any major podcasting platform. And I'm a channel that uploads 3 times a week. And I focus on looking at business scams and then also taking a look at corrupt people and businesses and just kind of doing a more calculated look into what they do versus more reactionary. So I'm often a little bit late with stories, but I try to at least kind of give the entire timeline since I do run a little late.
I know this is totally off topic, but who did your VTube avatar? It looks like next level. There's like actual animation in the background and everything.
Yeah, well, the background is, I got it from Storyblocks. I just have a subscription with them and they, you know, give me a bunch of free video and stuff. But so that one's from that. But my VTuber was created by an artist named Tio Teku on Twitter. And then it was rigged by, I feel really bad because I'm forgetting her name right now. By Faye, Faye2Folk on Twitter. And they are fantastic artists.
Yeah, definitely. I guess one of my first questions would be, what made you want to get into this? Like, was this how your channel started? Or do you have a story like most people where your channel kind of evolved over time?
Oh, yeah. My channel's been honestly through everything under the sun. I started out, honestly, as a wig channel way back in 2013 when I first created the channel. I did wig reviews. Of all things, I did.
Wait, literal wigs?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I did wigs. Yeah, I reviewed human hair wigs and synthetic hair wigs and like beauty and stuff. That's what I used to do.
That's wild. And so, how did you go from wig reviews to taking down conspiracy theories?
It's a long, long story. Honestly, I tried to do the over exaggerated fake story times like Tana Mojo. So I made up a bunch of story times. Tried to be a story time channel. Then I tried to be a daily ranting channel. And honestly, the thing that ended up getting the channel to take off was kind of a last hurrah for me. And I was actually going to shut the channel down. So it's really the most precarious timing that it happened the way it did. But I had a friend of mine. She lost a ton of weight. She went vegan. She hired a personal trainer. She went to the gym. And then when she lost all this weight, she started shelling for an MLM or a multi-level marketing company called Thrive, which says you can lose weight by wearing little patches on your skin.
Oh, neat.
And I had seen other YouTubers kind of talk about this anti-MLM subreddit on Reddit, didn't really know what it was. So I went through it. I picked out a few of the things and I made sure to do it like just in my voice. And I just sent it to her because at that point I kind of thought my channel was dead. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to create a new channel and make the type of content that I actually make now. But I was going to make it over there.
I was going to say, what did you discover about the whole multi-level marketing scheme?
Oh, I mean, do you want the long answer or like the short answer?
Well, I mean, for people who don't know, I guess, it's my understanding is it's a pyramid scheme, right?
Well, yes and no. So a pyramid. So you have like pyramid and Ponzi schemes, and then you have direct selling on the other end. And then in the middle is something called multi-level marketing. And that's kind of how I best explain it. So in direct sales, you're focused on selling a product, and that's how you earn your commission. And when you're in a Ponzi scheme, it's recruiting people into your downline. And an MLM is this weird combination where you mesh those two things together, and it creates what an MLM is, which is why a lot of people get confused as to what they are. Why some people go, no, this is legit. And other people go, no, this is just a pyramid scheme, is because they take both elements. And the reasons why this type of company gets in trouble so often really is because they teeter too far into pyramid territory, and a lot of them end up getting shut down.
Okay. I had a friend who was dating someone who was in multi-level marketing, but they were actually one of the few people at the top. So is it one of those things where you can make a lot of money if you were able to scam a whole bunch of other people to sell whatever product you're all collectively trying to push?
Yes. So you either make it into the company early, or on the other hand, you somehow make your way to the top, which usually is something 0.002% or something of people will actually make it to the top. There's a very, very tiny fraction amount of people that can actually do it. And you have to essentially sell people a dream that doesn't exist.
And maybe a dangerous product. Bad.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you made that video. Okay, I guess I should quickly ask, did it help convince your friend?
She stopped selling Thrive soon after. I will say that she did stop selling it. So I think that's a huge benefit. But we honestly had a bit of a falling out for about a year after that. And then we started reconnecting because she was really mad at me that I did that. And at the time, the channel had like 800 subscribers. So it's like no one really saw it or anything. But, you know, she was like, why would you say that publicly? And then when that's the video that started taking off, she was like, why would you, you know, do this? Was this like a plan or whatever? She's like, were you just trying to embarrass me? And I was like, no, I just, you know, I was just like, I just think you're smarter than that. I just thought you had more brain cells in your head and you could do this and, you know, and be proud of your weight loss without, you know, trying to shell weird stickers to people.
Hey, at least it was stickers. I know people who sell like actual, like, you know, faux medication and other things through multi-level marketing.
Oh, no, that's a huge problem. The amount of products that range in these companies is incredible. Someone gave me a hint recently in my Discord server that there's like a, even potentially an energy company MLM. So I'm learning all sorts of things every day. These companies continue to evolve and become something new and more terrifying by the day.
Wow. So that video takes off, and then immediately is one of those feedback loops where you were like, this is something I want to make more content on because there's an interest in it. Or was it, you know what, maybe this is something that I've always wanted to start exploring, is kind of doing takedowns of scams and other stuff like that.
Yeah. So there was actually the channel, I was going to delete the Illuminati channel, and I was going to create a second channel that's called Thinkology, which actually I've now recreated as of last year. So I was going to dump the Illuminati name and go to this Thinkology channel and just do these kind of short scripts about things that I find interesting, which essentially is what I do now. So it kind of came full circle. But for the first year, kind of in 2019, I was what was called a Reddit channel. And I essentially reacted to Reddit content. But I realized, like, I wasn't super funny. And I've never been a funny person, for the record. So I would cover more serious topics. And it just didn't do it for me. I just kind of felt like I was on a loop and I didn't know where the loop was going to end. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do the thing I always wanted to do. And it's either going to like make the channel exciting or it's absolutely going to kill the channel. And I was like, I'm okay with either result. So I made the switch and it paid off somehow. But, you know, I was very well aware it probably should not have. My channel should have absolutely died and not become what it is now.
So the whole thing was a fluke.
It was.
Are you one of the people who was doing YouTubing full time, immediately and just kind of like struggling to get by? Or did you wait until the channel exploded?
So the explosion was so big that I don't think I have a standard trajectory like many, you know, others have about their channel. And so what happened was the channel started making money. Its first month, it made like $200. And at the time, I had just graduated college and I was actually getting ready to take a job in Las Vegas. And I saw what the YouTube analytics were saying I was going to get paid the next month. And I was like, whoa, that's like, you know, a couple thousand dollars. I was like, that can't be right. So I kept trying to ask people, you know, other YouTubers, I was like, hey, is this like a normal amount? Like, is this okay? Like, is this standard? And they were like, yeah, no, that's YouTube money. And I was like, oh, okay. So I, you know, against my parents' wishes, they were like, just go to Vegas, keep doing the YouTube thing and whatever. and I turned the job down and I said, nope, I'm just going to do this. And so with the channel taken off about 30 days after, I just dumped it. And I said, let's go full channel. Whatever happens, happens. I can find another job if this crashes in 6 months.
When,
like, this was just a series of probably bad decisions that no one should make for the rest of the time anyway.
When did you start to pivot to actually doing deep dives on a lot of, let's just say, colorful characters like, you know, your Tucker Carlson's or your Alex Jones's?
So, okay, this one's kind of a complicated question. And I know, I guess, like, that's as far as I go with talking about politics. I know, you know, you talk about it a lot more frequently. So I admit when you asked, God, I know this was from a couple months ago, being like, hey, would you like to be on? I was scared. politics and live streaming about politics is something that there's a lot that I am still learning. And I think a lot of that goes back to how I viewed myself politically. I kind of saw it in the chat. I have the chat up on the side where someone was like, isn't she a libertarian? No, I used to call myself a libertarian and I didn't fully understand what that was. And that's to my mistake. It turns out I wasn't really very libertarian. I was just very confused.
And it's also okay. A journey, right? So, like, no one starts out exactly as X or Y or something like that. Well, they usually, like, they're learning.
Very conservative. I'm sure that's not shocking. A lot of people are.
Yeah.
We're raised conservative and then we change. Military family, very conservative, and all of that. And I think it was around 2016 or 2015, when Trump was running for president, something just started to click that I was like, this doesn't feel right. Something isn't right about this. And I don't know what, because I just wasn't versed in politics articulately enough to understand what was happening. But I said, something about this isn't right. So in the 2016 election, I abstained from voting because I didn't really know what was happening. And I didn't feel that it was responsible to vote for either party or any party, not knowing, you know, who or what I was exactly voting for. And I was like, you know what, you need to take this time in your life to just shut up and learn for once. So I was just reading and trying to do my, you know, research, trying to figure out, what does this mean? What are the values and things that I like in life? And it turned out the thing that I valued puts me into a category. I ended up taking just last year this quiz that's like, what is your political thing? And it's like that square, the four squares. Mm-hmm. And it put me in something called a SOC Dem, I think is what I am.
Okay.
So that's where it puts me now. But I used to call myself a libertarian for years because I just thought that was all about, you know, living your life and being able to do that so long as you don't infringe on anybody else. And I was like, you know what, that's a good hands-off approach. That seems okay. And especially as this channel's grown and I've had more and more employees and freelancers that I work with, I've learned how much a business can get away with. Mm-hmm. And like how much shit they can dump on their employees, and you get tax write-offs for doing like almost like bad things to your employees. And I was like, this isn't okay. So I have like benefits programs for my employees and stuff that don't exist, and I get taxed and fined for it essentially. And I'm okay with that because I feel that I'm doing what's best for me. So yeah, I admit that I was saying that I was this one thing, but I didn't really understand what it was. And as I've become more educated, I've learned, you know, it's more about what is it that I believe, what is it that I want to see from my politicians, from my community, and from my future. And that's where I need to align myself. So very long answer. Sorry.
No. It's kind of fascinating because, like, I think sometimes people get too bogged down just on labels themselves, right? Like, if someone is to say to you, like, oh, that person happens to be X, immediately, like, oh, well, no, we hate X. We can't speak to them or talk to them, right? And I think deep down when people start to explore, I guess, in the way you have been and going through your own personal, I guess, political journey, you've tried to figure out where exactly do your, like, if you told me that being an, or the label label of being a libertarian didn't fit you because you didn't fully understand what it meant. It was probably the aspects of libertarianism that you did like, right? Like something being like, someone being like, hey, I don't think the drug war is a good thing, for example, something I hear from libertarians, right? Or people, you know, arresting someone just for smoking marijuana, you know, doesn't really vibe with me. So I guess, what does that make me? And then someone else would be like, oh, you're a libertarian, I guess, you know? And then you might go down a road of being like, but I also think that, you know, people should have access to hospitals if they can't afford it. And so maybe I'm not going to fall into that category.
Very radical view, I understand.
Yeah. but no, that's really fascinating. I'll be honest. I hadn't even thought of broaching the topic of politics or stuff like that, because I was pulling you on, or I wanted to bring you on the show specifically because I really liked your content. But that's neat to find out. But then I guess that brings me back to the original question I had. What made you start kind of investigating people like Alex Jones?
Well, it doesn't actually have anything to do with politics, which I know that people that, you know, like Donald Trump and Tucker Carlson, they're going to go, oh, she's lying. And that's okay. You can't make everybody happy every time you say a sentence. So I understand that. But what I started to look at was, especially with, so I've got the two series, the Multi-Level Monday that looks at kind of scams. And then I have Corporate Casket, which focuses more on businesses and business leaders. And what I started to see was there's a lot of trends, similar trends between a corrupt business person and a corrupt politician. And when you realize in the US how intertwined, unfortunately, those two types of individuals really are, it seems almost like negligible for me to comment on what business people are doing without understanding or fully, you know, bringing to light why they're enabled to do that kind of thing. You know, and like with Alex Jones, for example, finding out that InfoWars, I believe, I'd have to look back at my research and it's not in front of me off the top of my head, but I believe they're almost as much of a supplement company as they are kind of like a broadcasting company. And I find that really interesting because supplements are kind of shit and I cover that a lot. So to find that, I go, well, this is a business person who just the business happens to be talking about politics. And so then I go, you know what, that is in my sphere of things I can talk about. And it doesn't have to be necessarily political. I certainly don't agree with what they have to say, but I can take a look at what they ethically stand by and how they act in business. And those things are reflected in documents that I can get a hold of, take a look and scrutinize. So that's kind of where that transition came from.
Can you talk a little bit about the scrutinization of Alex Jones? Like, I know a lot of people might have like a cursory understanding of the fact that InfoWars sells a whole bunch of the most bizarre sounding supplements you could concoct, right? Like Brain Force Plus and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know if they understand maybe to the lengths or depths in which that props up his entire empire.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things, which was not so much the first episode we did on him. The first one we did in, I think, December was more about taking a look at Alex Jones as who he is as a person. And the second one we focused in, I think we called it more about InfoWars instead. And when you take a look at InfoWars and what it does, and you see that one, it has really no advertising streams anymore. It's very hard to get advertising going with you. I obviously have sponsored my channel. I know how that kind of revenue stream works. And that's where a vast majority of my money comes from too. It's not really from, you know, YouTube advertisements or anything, because, you know, a fourth of my videos get demonetized every month. So I'm like, whatever. It's more about putting the content out there because it's important. So I do need advertisers to help pay my team. It's not so much, you know, me, but I need to make sure everyone's taken care of and, you know, fairly, appropriately, and living wage and all that. So you look at someone like Alex Jones and his company, and what you see is someone who has to create their own advertising platform to market their voice, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So he has to, in a way, in my opinion, of course, he has to create these narratives that focus on, well, this is so bad. This is happening in the world. However, you can help make your life better if you buy this supplement, this product, this whatever. And he happens to own that thing too, and own its production, its marketing, and everything. And I think that's how he operates, which is something a lot of people don't get, is he doesn't make money by just talking. He makes money by, you know, selling this crap, quite frankly, that just doesn't work, or it's useless, or it's just too many vitamins for your body and you're just going to urinate it out. So I just find that really interesting. A lot of people miss that. And I go, well, you know, he doesn't also say a lot of great things. Like if you really look at those supplements, there's not a lot of great information out there about them. So you're putting unknown substances into your body because the Yelly man told you so, so that you can support his show. And it's just this really interesting format for a business that I just haven't seen, which is why it's so interesting. Politics aside and the turning the frogs gay thing and everything, but looking at it from that point, it's so interesting just because I've never seen something like that where it's, you know, like the image where it's the snake that's like eating itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like how I view his business model. And it's just so interesting. I just have never seen anything like that before. So that's why it's fascinating to me.
Or maybe it would be in the opposite direction. The snake is just vomiting in some kind of circular motion.
Honestly, could be.
with Alex Jones, I totally agree with you because like a lot of what he talks about seems to be keeping people genuinely afraid for a variety of reasons, but then also selling them the tools to survive the very things that he's inventing, right? Like survivor gear, prepper buckets, male vitality, all those kind of things. In all the products that you were exploring, I guess looking into the way his stuff works, what were some of the stranger ones?
Oh God. I think it was at one point, and I don't know if it's still active. I think he was selling, can I be like kind of explicit when I say this?
You can be as explicit as you want on the show. You can say, you know, fuck and all that. There's just a list of naughty words that Twitch doesn't let you say. Obviously slurs are not permitted. Also, that includes the new C word is banned as well. All that kind of stuff. But you can swear away, say whatever you want.
Male enhancement pills. I'll just say that.
Wait, what? That's the taboo sentence you're about to say.
I believe at one point he was selling some kind of male enhancement pill, and it wasn't explicitly labeled that way, but it's side effects of some of those medications, I don't want to say medications, of those supplements claim to have the effect that they will revitalize the male component during intercourse.
Revitalize. Very nice. I like that. See, that is a tactical choice of words right there. But then
that's the best one I got all day. I'm going downhill from here.
But then what did it turn out that it really was, or did you even look into that?
A lot of things with these types of ingredients, right, is when you don't explicitly say it, which is what he's skirting around what it is, right? They're just enhancements. That's not a word that's protected. So it's not a word that the FDA can really get involved in. It's the same thing that I've had, you know, episodes about on my own channel discussing, you know, the word natural, how it's not a regulated word. So when you're dealing with someone who's selling under the guise of something that's not regulated, there's really nothing that the FDA can do about it unless it hurts somebody. So he kind of is in this secret little nutritional supplement loophole where he can absolutely get away with this, sell it like that with just using clever phrasing, and no one can really do anything about it. We can call it out for what it is, but the people who are going to buy that from him do not want to hear anything that comes out of my mouth. So it's kind of a dead in the water point. It's more of just an awareness thing when I talk about it at that point, unfortunately.
Is that how the law works around those kind of products? Like, you can't actually stop it until it hurts someone?
Yep, that's currently, it's not the same in Europe. The EU laws and stuff are totally different. But if the product can be sold in the US and it cannot be sold in Europe, chances are there's a banned substance or some kind of wording that's incorrect or claims that are saying that it can do something when there's no actual scientific study behind it to back that up. It's just someone saying nice words. That's 100% okay in the US as it stands.
But like, how far can that go? Like, say I wanted to start something called like Surf Vitality Pills, and then all it was is I took a bunch of Tylenol and ground it up into a powder and then recapsulated it, and then I wanted to sell that in the United States. If it wasn't hurting someone, would it still technically be okay, even if it had no? Well, I guess it would have medical properties.
It would have it, but if you took, I don't know, if you wanted to create, you know, the Surf's supplemental pills.
Mm-hmm.
And all you did was you ground up a little bit of like, I don't know, oregano and thyme, and you put it into this little plastic cap and you go, take one of these every day. And you tell your whole audience, take one of these one a day and you'll become an alpha Chad, just like me.
And for buying it. One sec, I got to write this all down. Slow down.
I'm giving you notes right now. Okay, this is the next big product. Okay, no. But if you were to do that and you say, take one a day, Mm-hmm. And then someone takes 20 a day and they end up getting hurt. That's not your liability because you specifically have written in your instructions to take one a day. However, because someone has now complained about it, now the FDA can look into it and go, well, what exactly are in your ingredients? You list on your label that you have, you know, thyme and mint and stuff, but you never listed oregano and that person was deathly allergic to oregano. Why did you not disclose this? So it's one of those things where it's not until someone's injured do they care. I think it's a really messed up system. I wish there was a way better laws could be put in place around it, but as it stands, that's not accurate. And you can just get away with it until someone dies, really.
Well, I was going to ask, wasn't there a discovery of like lead in some of his products? Like, why wouldn't something like that lead to him getting shut down or the store?
I believe it was traces of both lead and arsenic.
Well, even more reason then.
It's probably something that is being investigated, but the problem with the FDA, and as you've noticed with the way he treats lawsuits, he's not very forthcoming with information and holds things up in court for a long time. And with the FDA, unfortunately, they won't just
clean up your
non-judgment. So they will take the 6, 8, 10, 12 years until they can solve something. I think it's inefficient, but that is currently how they operate, unfortunately. Wow. So we don't have a choice but to sit and wait.
That's wild. I guess one of the next things I wanted to ask you is, and this kind of pivots from Alex Jones, is you also kind of look into, you know, conspiracies and stuff like that. And we live in, I guess, one of the most conspiracy ridden ages of all time. We just had, you know, the QAnon movement grow to such incredible heights. And every day I'm hearing about something new. I mean, the flat earth almost seems like, tame in comparison. I'm curious, A, what is some of the bigger conspiracy movements growing, I guess, in America right now? And maybe if you have an anecdote, one of the funnier ones that people might not know about.
I'm going to be totally honest with you. I have not been keeping super up to date with cults. I did talk about QAnon briefly last year, and it's just a really weird spiral. How do I say it? I'm deeply uncomfortable by going down the QAnon rabbit hole because I can look at it and I understand how easy it is to slip. And it's not that I think I'm in fear of falling for QAnon policies. It's just uncomfortable how easy it is. And I admit I've kind of taken a step back. Like I know this weekend I'm going to be releasing a video about the 12 tribes, which some people call a cult. But I've been honestly staying away from anything cult-like for a little bit. I just think that when there's these big things going on, like how QAnon blows up, there's a lot of little things that hide underneath the surface. And if you don't flesh those out and talk about those things, then those things will fester into bigger problems. So while Q is doing its whole thing and all of that, I think not a conspiracy, but just openly, you look at, you know, American politics, what is her name? The one that looks like the thing from Attack on Titan.
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Sorry.
It's okay.
You look at.
I'm so happy that's like a meme that's like running around the entirety of the internet and everyone knows it.
Yeah, the Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, and Madison Cawthorn, I think is his name. When you look at like the three of them, you know, QAnon is scary, but you're looking at these types of people that enable it and give this scary thing power. And so I'm like, you know, if you don't bop them on the head and say, stop it, or, you know, in this case, we can't really stop them, so we can just continue to bring to light and criticize, you know, the bad actions that they do take. I think that leads to far greater consequences. And I know I'm just one voice out of a sea of millions, but that's at least like my personal stance is we have to bring more awareness to what is currently acting like lights to moths. Like what's bringing people in and why? And if it's bad, let's dismantle it.
I
haven't been keeping up on cults, unfortunately.
Well, I was going to ask, A, could you talk a little bit about the 12 tribes? Because I'm not even really familiar with what that is. And then B, do you feel a certain set of responsibility, I guess, at this point, seeing as how you have such a massive channel on YouTube to try and focus towards maybe aspects, whether it be, you know, exposing Alex Jones's pill scams all the way to... someone like I really liked your recent video on Tucker Carlson and some of the stuff behind that. Does that also kind of like bear on your focus?
Oh, absolutely. So for 12 tribes, I'll get that one because that's pretty easy. I think they're only in the US right now. I don't know if they're in Canada, but you may have seen delis pop up around your cities called Yellow Deli. And Yellow Deli is run by this group called 12 Tribes. And I'm not going to outright call them a cult. They have not been officially labeled as one. And so obviously I don't want anyone getting in trouble for, you know, claiming something definitively. But people have claimed they're cult-like. And they have a very intensive history of child abuse, which is well documented, of even just a couple years ago, beating children for hours with rods. It was something that was in their German branch. And some a reporter was able to put a camera in a boiler room where they secretly recorded, I think it was 80 different children being beat for hours until bruised, bloodied, scarred. And those children were taken away. But then they apparently smuggled some of these children, I believe it was to Austria, in an attempt to hide from the German government. So they're not pleasant by any means. But here in the US, the interactions like up in Denver and everything, it's called the Yellow Deli. And I think that's what they go by everywhere. I have a writer in New York and she used to go frequent the Yellow Deli. And then we started researching this and she was like, oh my God, I can never go back because of what it supports. But they're super nice. And they're real nice to you. And the point is they want to be really nice and they want to be very close by to college universities where potentially, you know, malleable freshmen lie in wait. So they can share the news of their religion and their organization and suck people in that way. But the truth is it's very controlling and children have been hurt multiple times inside this cult.
What
cult-like entity.
What kind of religion is it? Does it take, you know, is it based off like Christianity? Is it its own thing? Scientology?
Yeah. So it's based off of both Christianity and Judaism.
Okay.
It's a very weird mix. Now there's even, so I have a friend that I visit down in Colorado Springs in Colorado. And there's this little tiny kind of cute, like hippie town called Manitou Springs. And I know I'm getting like really specific. I promise there's a point, but the 12 tribes apparently run a tea shop down there. And I've been to that tea shop and they are some of the nicest folks in there too, which is why when we were kind of going through this research, it was so horrific. But the way everyone knows them in that community goes, oh, this is a cafe that's just run by this Jewish family. And I was like, oh, how cool. So they close on like Saturdays or whatever for Sabbath. And I was like, okay, yeah, no, that's totally understandable. And then I started to do more research into this and I was like, oh my God, they're that Christian 12 tribes people that take elements of Judaism while also still believing in like fundamental Christianity. It is the weirdest. I don't know how to fully explain how strange this is, but it's absolutely wild.
Well, as soon as you mentioned the child abuse, I'm like major yikes all around. Yeah.
And that child abuse goes down to newborns as well. I believe they had documentation as early as 6 months.
Holy shit. Yeah.
They believe that even as an infant, you should know essentially like the grace or wisdom of God. So if you were crying in church during a church sermon while a 6-month newborn, you were subject to be beat. The child was.
It's monstrous.
The abuse is intrinsic in this community. They claim it's not, but, you know, court documents and stuff say otherwise.
Well, I guess look forward to that one, everybody. Just some casual viewing.
Yeah, very casual.
Okay, so then I guess that puts it into focus. So when I wanted to ask you that second question, like, do you feel now that there is, considering the size of your channel, some pressure to talk about stories like that other people aren't bringing up?
Yeah, I absolutely, 100%. I think now that the channel has surpassed, I think we surpassed 1 million subscribers. I think it's insanely important because I have the
clean up your room
in most cases. And I have the funding as well. Like, you know, for like a smaller channel, even I can say for myself, when I was much smaller, a video being demonetized was huge. I'd fight with the YouTube algorithm for days trying to get it monetized. And what do I have to, you know, tweak? What do I have to move this, that, and the other thing to make it monetizable? Because, you know, if we don't get that video monetized, like none of us are getting paid. Mm-hmm. And that means me, because I pay my editors and everyone before me. So I was like, you know, everyone needs to get paid. And then maybe the leftovers, I'll collect some too. And now I'm lucky that a fourth of the channel can be demonetized because we have advertisers and sponsors who really do allow, you know, the channel the freedom to cover topics that we otherwise can't, even when YouTube absolutely suppresses us. I know last year I did a video on, the Uyghur Muslims in mm-hmm. China. That video was suppressed to hell. And not only was it poorly suppressed by YouTube, but they blocked my channel from really being seen in sub boxes for a good month and a half because of it. And it hurt, but not getting the message out hurt a little bit more, if that makes sense. Like, the video didn't make money. It hurt a month and a half, almost 2 months of content. And I was okay with that because there is a responsibility, I think, to talk about things even when they're uncomfortable or scary, bad, mad, all of the above. I totally think there is a certain level of responsibility that I have to take now, and I'm okay with that.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention that in the kind of, I would say, field or category that you're in, it's usually very male dominated. And I'm just curious, seeing as how you are one of the bigger channels that, again, is doing these kind of things, what your experience has been and maybe the potential, like, has there been backlash as a result of that? Or maybe even just by virtue of being a VTube a creator as well?
You know, that's kind of interesting. I've never really thought of that. I don't really talk to anybody. I feel really bad about saying that. I've really kind of... in the beginning part of YouTube, 2019 and 2020, I really talked to a lot of YouTubers. I tried to reach out to everyone and talk to people and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And with 2021 and now 2022, I've really learned to just keep to myself. I don't really talk to other YouTubers. I have a very small, close-knit circle of friends. I don't watch channels that are similar to me. That one's mainly out of fear, because if they cover a similar topic to me, I'm afraid that maybe they'll say like some cool quip and then I'll unknowingly like remember it and then spit it back out in a script later on as like a reaction piece. And then I'm like, oh my God, they said it first. It's because I heard them months ago and it just never processed. So it sucks, because this is like my favorite style of content to watch, is the type that I create. And I can't watch my own like content anymore from other creators. So I don't really know what they're doing. I know I'm mutuals with a lot of them on Twitter. I think they're great people sending out, you know, great messages. And it sucks that I can't actually be, you know, an enjoyer of their content anymore, because I have to, I'm just so afraid of, I don't want to say tainting, because like, I think that's a really negative word, but of being influenced maybe by something they have said. So I don't watch that kind of content anymore. I just kind of watch cooking videos now. So I don't know what they're doing. I don't feel any competition or, you know, hatred or anything. I just kind of stay in my lane. I post, you know, on Instagram pictures of me and my dog from time to time. And I just do what I'm going to do. I talk to my team. And then, you know, at the end of the day, I turn off the computer and I walk away and I try to have a little bit of a semblance of a personal life.
I know it's kind of boring, but... Well, I was going to add, I have to thank you again for coming on the show. Then I didn't know that you were completely detached from other like content creators and stuff like that.
Yeah. And so I had to be strongly convinced, honestly, to reply. And so there's a few people on Twitter who have like messaged me and stuff. And I honestly half the time am too afraid to respond back. Mm-hmm. And so like, I had actually watched your content before I started to kind of take a more political stance on some of my topics. And once that happened, I said, nope, I can't watch anymore, because it's not because I didn't like, you know, what you were doing. It was because I was so afraid that I was like, maybe he's going to say some cool quip, some good point, something like that. And then I'm going to unmistakably parrot the same thing. And then I'm either going to be accused of being a copycat, stealing from a smaller channel, any of those kinds of things. So I turn a lot of stuff off. And then the other thing is, I know that every once in a while I'll see like in trending or something in YouTubers that there'll be like, you know, streamers and YouTubers fighting with each other over politics.
it is a weird war.
Who the names are. And so I feel really bad. So I feel like ask, one of my roommates, I think he's been vibing in the chat. Actually, it's Oz Media. He's another YouTuber. We've been roommates for like years, and cool. And he has to like tell me, like, I'll be like, hey, what's this person? Like, who are they? And he goes, oh, this person like believes in this. And I was like, okay, cool. So I'm like, is this like a good person or something? And he's like, well, he's like, this person's like had this kind of take before. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I'll, you know, and then I'll try and like look for some kind of synopsis as to maybe who they are, some kind of intro thing on their channel. And then I'll just go about my day. So it's like, I feel really bad. And that's part of the reason why I was afraid. I was like, are we going to talk about like political people, like other streamers and stuff? Cause I'm like, I don't know much about them, to be honest. And I feel really bad about that.
Yeah, no. I have no intention of bringing a guest on to just like create drama or stir the tea. Even though I know you've been drinking the cartoon tea this whole time, it is a bizarre thing though, because I'm someone who does do video essays like yourself as well as stream, but you're right, there does seem to be a constant clash between, you know, the streamers and the YouTube video essayists, and never the two shall mix or something like that. I guess I just noticed you're reading now. One of the other things I wanted to ask is, since you do follow a lot of these things like scams, malpractices, people who are selling enhancement pills, shall we say, what's something that you think a lot of people should look out for, especially just like if they are everyday average consumers that they might not be self-aware of?
The everyday average consumer, first of all, should be aware of something that seems too good to be true. I know that's not new information. That's been out there time and time again. A lot of MLMs and people who shell for them, or shill, I've been saying shell the whole time, I apologize, but
it's okay.
who shill for them, it's this idea of, hey, we know things are tough right now and we're going to help you, or here's this opportunity to help you. So when looking at MLMs and scams, look for that, because the reality is you can totally like a salesperson, because and that's their job, sales, but they are still trying to sell you something, and you need to be aware of that. And if someone's trying to introduce you to a product and it's just a little too much of an emotional appeal, perhaps you need to take a step back and look at it. The other thing is literally just type in XYZ company scam, XYZ company MLM, XYZ company pyramid scheme. If someone's pressuring you to do something, buy something, invest in something immediately, and it's, no, you can't do this later, you have to do this now, that should be a huge red flag in anyone's book. You should have the time to sit down, to decompress with what you've learned, to look it up and verify or find information that proves opposite of what you've been told about this company, product, or whatever. That's kind of what I try and live by, which is why I have, typically it takes me a long time to make decisions as well too, which is both good and bad. And I understand that, but that's why I move so slowly with a lot of things, is I need the time to sit and process it and then understand what's happening. Because otherwise I think you make really uninformed decisions, and some people are better at making snap decisions. I'm not. And I know that. So that's why I'm not going to sit here and fool anybody. I'm going to go, yeah, I'm not good at this. So I need to sit down and process it before, you know, coming to a conclusion. And I think that's something that I think everyone really could use in just about every aspect of their life. It's okay to take a step back and see what is the bigger picture.
It's really good advice. I guess one of the last things I want to ask you is,
it's from lots of mistakes.
Yeah. Falling over is how we get there. How did the entire VTube persona that you go by come about?
Yeah. So the pyramid, it was totally by coincidence. It was, back in the Reddit days, so in early 2019, people started making me fan art. I think I had about maybe 9,000 subs, and it was the coolest thing ever, because I was like, oh my god, like, fan art for me, and people didn't really know, like, who I was. I had an Instagram. I do have, you know, a face. I put my face out there from time to time, but I think a lot of times people do see, I don't know how to say this nicely. Let me try and see if I can phrase this nicely. A lot of times I've noticed that when someone sees a female, and like female presenting person, and they maybe are a little too done up or whatever, and I'm someone who likes to put on the fake eyelashes and the fake nails and the hair extensions and everything. I like being high maintenance, but people will see that. And there are some people who get this sense that I, by default, them am stupid and I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. I've lost my prowess to be considered intelligent. And so the sad reality is that being a pyramid, being this digital figure, actually gives me more clout in that way, more fair representation to be able to make a point. And it also helps that my voice is a little lower and not as high pitched as other female voices tend to be. And that works in my favor. Early on in my career, in YouTube, everyone used to make fun of me. I used to be called the Teasler. I was, you know, are you really a man? And, you know, you're trans and all, every trans slur under the planet. I got compared to being Blair White because we're both named Blair. And I got a lot of hate for my voice because, like, well, you sound like a dude. And now in like late 2021, 2022, I've started to see comments where people are like, oh my God, I love your voice. It's so relaxing. And it makes me want to cry because I'm like, oh my God, like people are just okay with me being me now. And it's been easier essentially to have this facade of being a pyramid because I feel that even though it's a little cartoon running around, people take it more seriously than if I was there sitting all done up with my hair curled and my eyelashes and extensions and everything. And it's sad, or it is what it is. People can take what they want from it. But that's unfortunately the experience that I've calculated that has made obviously my internet presence more successful and the channel better off. You can take away from that what you want, but that's what I've unfortunately noticed.
I mean, I think I completely agree with the chat. Your voice is really calming and relaxing. I don't see why anyone would take offense to it.
Yeah, it was a huge insecurity when I started YouTube. I got made fun of so much. Like it hurt really deeply. And, you know, just that people and it wouldn't, for the record, it wouldn't matter even if I was trans and not cis. It shouldn't fucking matter. And it was just weird that people would try to use that as a teardown argument to try and be like, you're invalid. Your stance on this it doesn't fucking matter. Stupid woman with a deep voice. And I'm like, okay, stupid woman with deep voice. I'm just going to go sit in my corner now.
Wow. I'm sorry. That's absolutely terrible.
It's okay.
For what it's worth, the whole pyramid motif is really cool. I think it throws people off too, because I think when you first click on your thumbnails or see it, they might think like it is an actual conspiracy channel, just because, you know, you've got the pyramid eye and everything, and it's just like, oh, where? I think the first time I ever watched one of your videos, that's what I initially thought. It was something about a topic I was interested in, but then I saw the cartoon avatar, and immediately it was like, oh, is this like a conspiracy theory channel? And then, you know, obviously a minute in, I was like, oh no, it's not. It's debunking.
And it's just a joke. You know, and it's funny because now the name Illuminati, the way it's spelled, which should be the first indicator that something's going to Funky Town. You know, something's not mm-hmm. quite Illuminati conspiratorial here, but the pyramid head, all of it's a fun joke to me because I love the Illuminati conspiracies. And as I've started to talk about politics, it's an excellent weeder tool for just absolutely batshit crazy people in my comment section. They're like, I can't stand for this video anymore, being lied to by this Masonic pyramid temple having witch. And I'm like, all right, it's me, the pyramid having witch. Hello. I'm okay with that. It's been a great weeder tool now. And I just think it's funny. It's literally the whole way the brand is set up is just to piss off people who just want to be pissed off for no reason. It's just like, ha, point and laugh. There it is. The person that's easily upset.
That's amazing.
I'm sorry, like a purple and like green kind of pyramid running around, like that's what's got your panties twisted. Like, okay, for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. I guess the last thing I'll ask is what outside of that project you got coming up, the one on 12 tribes, which I'll definitely be watching because that sounds absolutely horrifying and no one I think really has talked about that yet. What's the future for your channel? Are you going to continue making these? Are you going to spin off and start a Crash Course style thing like the Vlog Brothers, or have you found your niche?
Well, I think I'm really happy with what I'm doing. If I'm going to be honest, upcoming projects, I'm looking right now at my little spreadsheet of all the upcoming projects on another screen. And I've got some very cool stuff coming up. I'm going to be actually talking about Rudy Giuliani here in April.
Nice.
Great guy to talk about, right?
Oh, yeah.
But for other projects, I've tried a lot of stuff on YouTube. I think that's probably the fairest thing to say. And on Twitch. I've done streaming on Twitch. I stream a little bit now on YouTube. I don't know why I'm happier over there than I am on Twitch. Doesn't matter. But a little bit of streaming, but it's more casual for me. It's not something I'm really like, oh, I have to stream every day, all day, all the time. It's just kind of, if I'm in a good mood, I'm going to stream. If I'm not in a good mood, I'm not going to stream. I'm happy with the 3 episodes I do every week. And the podcast, I'm really pleased with how those are performing. And for side projects, the only thing is I started a candle company, something out of a craft, out of a hobby that I did. And I don't want to get too into the details. I don't think I'm allowed to disclose yet, but we've been picked up by a PR company and they are putting the candle company. We're going to be featured in a couple of national magazines, TV segments, things like that. So I would really like to, you know, keep what I'm doing here because I think what I'm doing is a net positive. I think bringing this information to people in a way that's easy to digest and I guess as I'm learning or have been learning in the past year, really, with a pleasant kind of tone of voice to help make it easier to digest information, I think that's important to have. And then just working on candles. I love it. I created this really luxury, ethical, sustainable thing. I'm not going to try and sell it. I think that maybe is a little tacky, but I worked really hard because if I'm going to stand behind that brand, it has to stand and pass all of the things that I believe and the things that I say publicly, because otherwise I'm nothing but a hypocrite. So
true. So yeah, is the whole thing going to work where people basically sell your candles and then we have to recruit more people to sell your candles, exactly, but then there are tiers exactly underneath them. And then, okay, awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, just sign me up. All right. I'll get my fans on board and we'll get that multi-level marketing going. Illuminati, Blair, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I know it's something I guess you were scared to do, but I hope it wasn't too frightening.
No, you were absolutely awesome, and everyone in the chat, you guys have been really awesome too. Congratulations on hitting the donation goal of $5,000 right before this even started. That is fantastic what you and your community have been able to accomplish. I think that's something that should absolutely be celebrated.
Oh, and I can't thank you enough for donating. That was a really wholesome way to start the show.
Yeah, of course. I absolutely support, you know, whatever's going on out there right now. I've got many words for Russia and they're not good. So. No, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciated it. And thank you to everyone for listening as well, too.
Thanks so much. Yeah. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So you've just been listening to an episode of The Surf Times, and if you enjoy it and want to see The Surf Times, you can go to wearesurfs.com or watch the live shows at thesurfs.tv. And also everywhere social media is sold, basically thesurfs.tv, you'll find us there, twitter.com/thesurfstv, for example. It would also help us out tremendously if you could leave a good review of this podcast if you enjoyed it, either on, I don't know, iTunes or wherever you're podcasting. Apparently it does help, and yeah, we hope to see you soon.
To our gods, Xander Corvus and Peyton L. Just, we beseech thee to smite down our enemies. To our monarch, Tom Spiker, we are but your humble court jesters here to amuse you. To our lords, Trevor R., we give thanks for this spit of land for us to eke out this meager existence. To our knights, Merid, Cheryl Alvarez, Ruby Kelly, Ellie Leslie, Alex P., Brandon, Words Greenwood, Nate, that one guy, Hagbird Celine, Matthew Scarborough, Stellar Vision, Ariane McCarthy, Daniel Sutton, Coulter Smith, Val 9000, Jenna Tall, Quiet 185, Anna Loves Riley, Omni, Riley and Anna, Poodlehawk, The Tim Caucus, Multi Mondi, Trevor Yanis, Lemmy 101, Anthropofojack, Cern 42, Catherine, Radical Maniac, Ramon Acosta, Nkosin, Violent Orchard, Sophie Baby, Political Puppy, Andreas Chiringuito, Zach Christensen, Josh Mickelson, Todd Buckingham, and Todd Lajeunesse. We raise our flag in a veil, and we salute you, our friends.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.